holidays. Send the rain. Send the fire. I love that song. I've heard that song all of my life, actually. And, you know, you don't have to have the greatest preacher in the world to worship God. You don't have to have 5,000 people in the building to worship God. We're to worship God just because he's worthy to be worshiped. And, you know, worshiping God and glorifying God, you know, that ushers in the Holy Spirit sometimes, letting him know that, hey, you are worthy and we do deserve, you know, we don't deserve anything you've given us, but what we want is for the Holy Spirit of God to show up. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to the book of Revelation, chapter number 20. Revelation in chapter number 20. I'll reiterate what Pastor said. Brother Kevin Mann here, his books are phenomenal. I have, I think, all of his books, most all of his books, if not all of them. And I even have his first mentioned Bible. Brother Mann is actually kind of one of my mentors in the ministry. If I have questions, he's one of those men that I'm always able to call and talk to. We cross paths every now and again. And I just want to, you know, pretty much say his books are worth getting. Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 11. Your Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Chapter 21, your Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem." Thank God. "Come down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another day of life. God, I need you. I pray that you'd fill me with the power of the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that you would touch the hearts of the people in this building tonight. If there be one lost, I pray they would not leave without getting saved by the grace of God. If there be one off in the far country, Lord, I pray that they find themselves a place tonight to be where they need to be with you. We need you tonight, Lord. We don't need anybody else. We love you. It's in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if most of y'all know or not, but Wednesday night after the church, I had the privilege to do probably my favorite thing to do in the entire world. Miss Laura Vineyard was halfway home, and she called me and she said, "Hey, little Benny, little Ben back there, he was crying, and he said, 'I don't want to go to hell.'" And she turned around, she came back to the church. Now, pastor was his first choice. He wanted to talk to preacher, but preacher wasn't here, and I was second place, so I'll take it. But they came back in here, and I sat down, I think right where you're at, Brother O'Melanick, and I got to talk with little Ben. Now, see, little Ben doesn't know what we all know. You know, he doesn't know, you know, the books of the Bible in order. He doesn't know the different dispensations. He doesn't know all of those things. But I'll tell you what he did know. He sat down on that pew, and he looked me in the eyes, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, "I don't want to go to hell." He may not have known everything there was to know about the Bible, but he knew that hell was real. And he knew that that was a place he would go if he didn't accept Christ. And of course, we made sure that he knew the answer was Jesus Christ. It wasn't me. It wasn't, you know, this church. It was Jesus Christ. And he didn't pray, you know, a miraculous prayer by no means. All he said was, "Jesus, save me." That's all it takes to be saved by the blood of Jesus. And if it doesn't make you excited that a seven-year-old boy would get saved by the grace of God, then friend, it's been far too long since you've had fellowship with God. I came back to the church on Thursday morning, preacher, and I was trying to study, thinking about what I was going to preach tonight, and I just could not get it out of my head. What if little Ben had died and went to hell? couldn't stop thinking about what if he died without God. Little 7-year-old boy that is past the age of innocence and he knows right from wrong and he knew that hell was a real place. What if he'd have died and he didn't get to go to heaven with the rest of us? Then I started thinking about all the people in my life that I've come in contact with, friends that I've had, that, oh, I wish I could see them again because I would tell them, hey, Jesus loves you. If you die without God, you'll go to hell. But there's a lot of people in my life personally that I haven't, I chose not to give them the gospel. I chose not to tell them about Jesus. And at this point in my life, I regret that, Brother Roger. I regret that with everything in me because I was sitting in this church on Thursday and I was praying and I just could not get it out of my head how real hell is. How real of a place that hell is and how we don't take it as seriously as we should. Tonight I want to preach on the thought of tears in heaven. I know what you're thinking, there ain't no tears in heaven. Well, I would beg to differ, preacher. Obviously God's going to wipe away the tears. There'll be no more sorrow, no more pain. I'm not trying to get deep and theological with you by no means, but we all know 7 judgments, 4 judgments, and the 2 main judgments. 1 judgment is the judgment seat of Christ. That's where we stand. That's where Christians that are saved, that are bought by the blood of Jesus, stand. And God says that Jesus will iron out all the things we did that were wrong, and he will correct us for not doing what we were called to do, and he will correct us for the sin that we have committed. But the judgment seat of Christ is for the believer. It's for the one that is saved. The one we just read about in Revelation chapter 20 is called the Great White Throne Judgment. In verse number 5 of chapter 21, the Bible said, "For these words are faithful and true." God told John to pin them down because they are true. Because he did see what he just said that he saw. A lot of people try to ignore the book of Revelation. Let me tell you something, friend. It is in the canon of Scripture. And all the things John talked about that he saw, I believe it with everything in me. I believe that what he described right here was real. I believe that this is something that is going to take place. This is an event that is going to happen. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. I don't know what we're going to look like. I don't know all of those things, but I know that this is going to happen. And the reason I had that thought of tears in heaven is because why is it that after the first heaven and the first earth were passed away? See, we're already in heaven. And after the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, right there in Revelation chapter 20, the Bible says, then he will wipe away. This is after he sees the new Jerusalem. This is after he sees this holy city. This is after we get to where we're going to be with God forever and ever, and it's never going to end. Why is it that he has to wipe those tears away? Well, I was studying through those judgments, preacher. And I actually called Brother Kevin this past week to make sure that I wasn't way off in the weeds somewhere. You see, the judgment seat of Christ is for us. That's where we get judged. But I believe after studying and trying to understand some things that my small, simple brain can't understand very well, is that we will be present at this judgment. We will not be judged at the Great White Throne Judgment. But listen to me carefully. We will be present there, but we will not be being judged. Which means most likely this is the image that I'm going to try to give you. Let's just get a vision tonight to see something that we need to remember, something that we need to take into account. I don't know where we'll be standing. I don't know how we'll be able to see it. I don't know if we'll be standing beside God, behind God, or behind all the people getting judged. But at this Great White Throne Judgment, friend, everybody that is not saved by the grace of God is being judged. Everybody that chose not to get saved is standing here at this judgment. If you're not saved by the blood of Jesus, this judgment is for you. If you've chosen to reject the gospel, if you have chosen not to get saved by the grace of God, you are being judged at this judgment. And all of the believers in this building tonight, we will be there present watching this judgment. The Bible says John saw the dead, great and small, which means he's bringing all of them up, preacher. It's not just those that haven't died yet. He's bringing up all those people that are lost, all the people that are already have died and gone to the lake of fire, friend. He's pulling them out. He's taking them up to this judgment, and we're being judged at this point. All of the people that are not saved, we are going to watch, friend. We are going to be standing there watching God judge them. The Bible said in Revelation chapter 20, according to their works. Which means they'll be standing there saying, well, God, I went to church. God, I was a part of the youth group. God, I did this. God, I did that. Oh, well, I got tithed the best I could. I raised my family the best that I could. And he's going to say, hey, without the blood of Jesus Christ, there ain't no answer, friend. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter
saved by the blood of Jesus, you will watch them get cast into hell. And this is why we will be weeping, because it's not just a casual thing, my friend. These people will be screaming at the top of their lungs, saying, "Oh God, please, don't do this. God, please, don't send me to this place. God, please." Friend, this is a real event that is going to happen. The Bible says it is faithful and true. This is an event that is going to take place in the future, and it could take place tomorrow. It could take place next week. It could take place before I'm done screaming at you tonight. This is an event that is going to take place. Why are the tears there that have to be wiped away? Because we will watch everybody get cast into hell. Now, I want you to think about all the people in your life that you know are not saved. And I guarantee you, every single person in this building tonight just thought of somebody that you know is not saved. What about that family member that you know doesn't have God? Maybe it's the person sitting next to you that you know is not saved by the grace of God. You could be sitting in this building tonight, sitting next to somebody that you know has not accepted Christ and truly been washed in the blood of Jesus. A friend, when we stand at the great white throne judgment, we will be weeping and we will be crying, because we will watch them get cast into this place called hell. We will watch them get cast into a place of eternal separation. We will watch them get cast into a place where we will never see them again. Tonight I want to get a vision of what hell is really going to be like. What hell is really going to look like. And the sermon is not really for the people that aren't saved. It's really for the people that are saved. Because if you're not already thinking, "Oh my goodness, I need to tell people about Christ or they will be cast into the lake of fire," then your fellowship with God is not where it needs to be. It ought to burden you and bother you. It ought to convict your heart thinking about people that you know that you can make an impact in their life, but you choose not to tell those people about Jesus Christ, and you choose not to tell them that the answer to not go to hell is by getting saved by the blood of Jesus. A friend, it's not by a prayer you pray. It's not by coming to church. It's not by all of those things. I'm telling you something tonight. The only way not to make it to that place called hell is to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, I believe with all of my heart that little Ben back there didn't get saved when he was sitting on the pew. I believe he got saved in the car when he said, "Well, I don't want to die and go to hell." And he knew that Jesus was the answer, and he chose to come back to this place. I believe if they got in a car accident and he'd have died, he'd be in heaven tonight. That's what I believe. Because it's not the prayer that he prayed, friend. It's what he believed in his heart, and that he knew that he knew that he knew if he died that night, he would have went to hell. And he knew that he knew that he knew that he needed Jesus in order not to die and go to that place. Hell is a real place, my friend. Hell is not a joke. This is not a fictional thing that's going to happen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 16. Luke, chapter number 16. I believe there are some things that we can learn from this rich man that is already in hell as we speak tonight. I believe, the preacher, that this rich man, obviously he's not saved and he's not ever going to make it to heaven, but I believe he's got a better walk with God than most of the people in the church nowadays. And we'll go through it a little bit tonight with the help of the Lord. Luke chapter number 16, beginning in verse number 19, your Bible says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day." It means he lived a great life. He had a good time all the time. He was rich. He wore the nicest of the nicest. He drove the nicest car. He had everything this world had to offer him, friend. But he didn't have Jesus. Verse number 20, your Bible says, "And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs, he came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame.'
Verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us, there is a great gulf fixed. There's that separation that's never going to get changed, friend. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Verse 27, I want you to notice something. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I know that was a lot of scripture I just read, but this is important scripture. I want you to know tonight that this scripture I just read from Luke chapter 16, what we read in Revelation 20 is a future event that is going to happen. What we've just read in Luke chapter 16 is a past event that has already happened. It's something that is not fake, it's not a fairy tale, it's not a joke, but it's real. It's something that literally happened, as if I walked down and shook your hand, Brother Kevin, and that's how real this story is. The world has tried to pervert our King James Bible. They try to make these stories, they take out some of those important words like being tormented in this flame. They take out the important words like I pray thee. And they take out some of those important things. Why? Because they want you to think of it as more of a fairy tale than it is just a legitimate, real thing that has happened, friend. I want us to realize tonight how serious hell is. What are some of the characteristics of hell, preacher? I'll tell you. For one, hell is real. It's not a joke. It's a place that if you die without Christ, you will go there. I'm not talking about because you were baptized. I'm not talking about because someone convinced you to pray a prayer. I'm not talking about because you were at the right place at the right time and emotionally you chose to get saved. I'm talking about until you are saved by the blood of Jesus, that you were under conviction, knowing that if you died without God, you'd go to hell. Other than the person of Jesus Christ entering into your soul, friend, you will die and go to this real place called hell. The only thing to keep you out of hell is the blood of Jesus Christ. The only thing that keeps you from this place is to let the Holy Spirit of God enter inside of your soul. It's not something you say, it's not something you do, it's something that you let God do to you. It's something that you choose to accept. It's a gift that God has given. Hell is a real place. Hell is existing. Hell is an evil place. You see, hell wasn't meant for us. Hell was meant for the devil and his angels. Hell wasn't meant for us, Brother Roger, that otherwise Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross for us. God doesn't want us to die and go to hell. God doesn't want anybody to die and go to hell. He wants us to be in eternity with him one day. He wants us to live in that beautiful place, that new Jerusalem, that holy city John talks about in Revelation 21. That's where Jesus wants us, friend. Hell is not meant for us. Hell is meant for the devils and his angels. But what has the devil done? The devil has deceived this world so much to the point to where we don't even realize that it wasn't even meant for us. That's why we take it so flippantly. We take it so as if it's almost a fairy tale, like it's a joke, like, oh, well, thank God I'm saved. What about all the other people dying and going to hell, friend? You know, once it happens, they don't ever get out of there. Once they die and go to that place called hell, there is no talking to them again. There is no getting them back. Lazarus didn't dip his finger in water and relieve that man from pain for just a split second, friend. But once it happens, it happens. I'm not talking about yourself tonight. I'm talking to the saved people, asking you about the people in your life that you know if you don't tell them about God, then they're going to die and go to this place called hell. They're going to die and go to this place that is existing. They're going to die and go to this place that is real, and it is an evil place. Hell is an enlarging place, friend. Isaiah chapter 5 tells us that it enlarges itself. Why? Because of the people that choose to reject Christ, which means there's always room for another. It doesn't matter how many people piled in down there in hell. It doesn't matter how many people walk off that cliff and walk down into hell, friend. It don't matter if there's 1,000, if there's 1,000,000, if there's 65 billion people, it enlarges itself to make sure there's room for more. The devil wants to make sure he's got enough room for everybody that chooses to die without Christ so that they can enter that place with him. The Bible literally uses the word enlarging. It is an enlarging place.
Because why? The devil wants everybody to get there. The devil wants to make sure everybody that wants to go gets to go. And he wants to make sure that everybody that doesn't have Christ has a place with him. You know, we flippantly say all the time, I hear people out in this world, they get frustrated with someone and they say, go to hell. Nothing irritates me more than when someone says that. I want to look them in the face and say, hey, do you realize? Do you realize what you just said to them? Do you realize that you just told them to go to a place where they will never get out of? You just told them, and I've heard Christians get mad at each other and say it to another Christian. I'm thinking, hey, that's not a joke. Hell is a real place, friend. Hell is a place that separates you from God. Hell is a place that you never get out of. And I was downtown Knoxville a couple weeks ago, street preaching with Brother Sam and Brother Tony, and one of these veterans were hanging around down there. And I thank God for all the men that served this country. I think they're treated horribly, in my opinion. But this one particular man, he wasn't thinking right. And he told me, he said, oh, I want to go to hell. I'm already pretty much living in hell. Started crying right there in front of him. I thought, brother, you have no idea. Friend, you think about what hell is really going to be like, and you will get a burden for the people that are lost. We have gotten in our relaxed Christianity where we just come into this place and we meet and we worship and we do whatever it is we do. And then we go out there in this world and you don't tell a single person about Christ all throughout the week, friend. You don't tell anybody that if they die without God, they will go to this place called hell. Why am I so passionate about this tonight? Because I have hours, preacher, I tried to study, and the only thing God put in my mind was if little Ben had died and went to hell. I thought of every angle that he would have dropped off into hell. I thought of him looking up at me and saying, Lucas, please. I thought of him looking up and yelling, oh, Michelle, oh, preacher, oh, Laura, why? And I thought of all the ways he would have died and went to that place. And God made it so real in my mind, friend. And he made me realize how relaxed we have gotten. How our personal witnessing in our life is pathetic. How what we do in our life outside of this building is a piece of trash, just to be honest with you. You see, I can preach behind this pulpit, friend, but what really matters is what I do when I get out there in the world tomorrow. See, I can fake it with you in here, but I don't get to fake it with God when I'm out there in the world. I don't get to fake it with God when I'm on the construction site and people blaspheme the name of God. And when people start saying whatever it is they're saying, and I choose not to say, hey, this isn't a joke, this is real. If you die without God, you're going to go to hell. Hell is an enlarging place. Hell is an eternal place. It never ends. You see, for us as people that live in time, we can't even really comprehend that. Because I know that today's going to end and tomorrow's going to start. And I can try to imagine someone being in hell for 1,000 years. And I can imagine them being in hell for 2,000 years. But even that's still time, and it sounds like a long time. But friend, hell is eternal, where there is no time. There is no morning and no night. It is utter darkness where you're burning and gnashing your teeth, friend. And there is no time in this place called hell. Just like there's no time in the place called heaven. That glorious place that we're going to walk on the streets of gold, and I'm going to fish with Peter in that crystal sea. There ain't going to be no time. But friend, there ain't going to be no time there, just like there ain't going to be no time where those people have died and went and burned forever. Think about those people in your mind right now who you know that's not saved. Who do you know that doesn't have God? You know, that burdens me, because I know people sitting in here tonight that have people that they've told me about that have said, please pray. Please pray. My brother's not saved. My sister's not saved. My cousin's not saved. My daughter's not saved. My son's not saved. Maybe my spouse is not saved. I know people sitting in here tonight that know people that aren't saved. And friend, I hate to put it like this, but it is serious. And if we don't take them to the throne of grace with prayer every day, if we don't take them to the throne of grace, bring them before God, friend. I can't convince them to get saved. I can't preach. I can preach as hard as I want to preach, friend. It doesn't have anything to do with me. What we have to do is we got to take them to God. We got to take them to Christ. When I'm down out in this world and I'm telling people about God, I don't tell people about all of my experiences. All I tell them about is Jesus. I say, let me show you what Jesus did. Let me take you to a story in my Bible where Jesus did this or Jesus did that. Why? Because it's nothing that we can do that can keep them from hell, friend. The only person that keeps them out of that place is Jesus Christ.
Hell is an eternal place. It never ends. Hell is a separating place. Once this great white throne judgment happens, we're all weeping and crying, and all of those people go away. We never see them again. Hell is not only a separating place, but I believe that hell is a forgetful place. What do I mean? I mean, brother man, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Preacher, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but once we get to heaven and we walk into that new city, and Jesus and God the Father wipes the tears from our eyes, friend, if we remember the people in hell, then we would be sorrowful. Which means if you choose to die and go to hell, once you get there and we get to heaven, we will no longer remember you. We will no longer have a remembrance that you chose to die and go to hell, friend. We will not remember that you are burning in a lake of fire because we would have sorrow. When God wipes all those tears away, I believe he wipes our mind completely in memory. He wipes everything perfect and everything changes. And we don't remember all the people that were cast down into hell. So for those of you that are lost without God, maybe you're sitting in here tonight. Maybe you're watching this. Maybe you'll listen to it later. I'm telling you right now, hell ain't a joke. Hell is not a joke. And if you're questioning if you would go there, friend, you better make sure tonight that you ain't going to go there. You better make it settled tonight. I don't care if you prayed a prayer. I don't care if you're 80% sure you got saved. You better get some assurance that you are saved by the blood of Jesus in this building before we leave. Because if you're not sure, friend, you might die and go to that place called hell. And once you get there, we will not remember you. Mama and daddy won't get to cry for you anymore. Mama and daddy won't weep for you anymore. The preacher won't cry for you anymore. I won't get to think about you anymore. Once we get to that new city, to that perfect place, I'll forget you. I won't remember you. We'll be so separated, it's like we've never met. We'd be so separated, it'd be like I've never seen you a day in my life. Hell is real, friend. Hell is not a joke. This is an eternal place. This is a separating place. This is a place where once you get there, you are forgotten forever. You know, the only person that remembers you in hell is the one that put you there, the devil himself. You see, you think it's a joke right now. You think it's a joke right now to say, oh, I might be saved, I might not. You ain't going to think it's a joke when you die and go to hell. And the only person you have there to talk to is the devil himself, who's also sitting next to you burning in that same lake of fire. And sitting there burning with you in the same flame. This rich man said, I am tormented in this flame. I am tormented in this flame. All he wanted, friend, was for Lazarus to get a little drop of water on his finger and let it drop, let it drop. That's all he wanted. And he thought that that would be like such relief, friend. It takes me 6 of these things to even get my hydration back. Hell is not a joke. Hell is a real place. You can fool around with it now. You can joke about it now. You can do your life, play along, do what you want to do, and live your life. Have all the things you have in this world. You can take it as a joke now, but I'm telling you right now, one day when you die and go to that place called hell, friend, it ain't going to be a joke no more. It's not going to be a joke anymore. You're going to a place where nobody will ever remember you other than the one who chose to deceive you enough to get you to that place. And God forbid you sit in a building like this every Sunday and Wednesday and you hear our man of God get up and he preaches and he tells you hell is real and he tells you God loves you. And there's men all across this country that you can look up and listen to on YouTube that tell you the realities of this place. And God forbid you sit in here tonight and listen to me tell you of this place called hell and you're under conviction. And you know that you're not safe, and you choose to walk out of here like it's a joke. It's not a joke. And I would be a fool to think everybody in this building tonight is saved. There's a lot of people in this building. I know a lot of good men that know how to play church. I know a lot of good people. I know a lot of good friends that knew how to play church, but when we got together on Friday night, oh, it wasn't playing church no more. I've got friends that I had in high school that I believe are burning in hell to this day. I've got friends in my life that I wish I'd have told about God, and I believe that they're burning in this place that is not a joke, but it's a real place. It is a place that exists, my friend. The New Age church is trying to erase the blood of Jesus Christ. They're trying to erase the torments of hell. The only thing they want to say is it's separation. It is separation, friend, but it's not just separation. It's separated to a place where you are in torment forever. It is a place that never ends. It is a place where you burn and you burn and you burn, and it is an everlasting place that never ends. And if you're sitting in here thinking, I wish he would stop, I wish he would stop, I wish he would stop, it's probably because you're scared that you are going to that place, friend. I can confidently 110% tell you tonight that when I was 13 years old, I settled it. I know that if I died right now of a heart attack, friend, that I would be with Jesus Christ. Do you know that you know that you know if you die tonight that you'd be with God, or would you be sitting next to the devil? It's not a joke, friend. It's not a joke. I don't know what's happening in here, but I feel something, preacher. Friend, I'm telling you tonight, it ain't a joke. If you're not saved, you better come down here before I get done and get saved by the blood of Jesus. Ain't nobody gonna judge you in here tonight. If you're questioning, if you're wondering, if you're doubting, friend, you better get saved before you die and go to that place where the devil wants you to go. I believe this rich man has a better walk with Christ than most of us have, and we're going to be with Christ one day. In this same chapter of Luke, chapter 16, I want to look at some of the things that the rich man has. In verse 27, your Bible says, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." This rich man said, "I pray thee." What is the first thing the rich man had, friend? He has a better prayer life than most Christians. He has a burden for his brethren. He didn't get all caught up in what's going on, friend. You know what he got caught up in? He got caught up in saying, "Hey, don't tell my brethren that if they don't get saved, they're going to be in this place of torment." He had a better prayer life than most of us. I believe to this day he's burning in this place in every day of his life. He says, "Oh God, send somebody to tell him. Oh God, send somebody to tell him." And we don't even have enough discernment to get on our knees 10 minutes a day and pray for the people we know are lost. We don't have enough of a walk with God and enough of a burden to realize that people are dying and going to this place of torment, friend. If you know somebody that is not saved by the blood of Jesus, you better be praying for them every single day. You better pray for them every hour of every day. I ended up sitting in here all day, preacher. I ended up sitting in here all through the night. I ended up sitting in this place and just thinking and thinking and thinking about how serious this place was, and how we need to get a burden for those that are going to die and go to this place. Amen. When's the last time you just prayed and said, "God, save somebody. God, save somebody that's going to die and go to this place. God, save somebody that if they don't get saved, they're going to die and go to hell." This rich man didn't only get his prayer life right, but he got his priorities right. This rich man got his priorities right. He said, at first he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." And he was selfish. And then it changed and he said, "I pray thee, send somebody to my brethren. Send somebody and tell them." But friend, this is Jesus telling you tonight, if you're not saved, I'm the one that he sent to tell you, if you're not saved by the blood of Jesus, you're going to die and go to hell. This man got his priorities right. He went from praying for himself to praying for his brethren. Amen. You see, there's so much that goes on in the church. People get mad at each other. People get upset with each other. Before you know it, you find yourself just sitting around talking about all the things going on in the church. When's the last time you prayed for someone that's lost? When's the last time, instead of talking about the brethren, you prayed for the brethren? When's the last time, instead of condemning the brethren and telling them that they're no good for nothing, when's the last time you got on your knees and prayed for them, friend? When's the last time you showed them the love of God? When's the last time you chose to get shut up in your prayer closet and get your priorities right and pray that they get saved by the grace of God? I would say none of us have the burden we should have. I would say none of us have the burden we should have.
Leonard Ravenhill said, I'd rather have a church of 5 men that know the power of prayer than 5,000 that know how to play church. Amen. Amen. I agree with him, preacher. I'd rather be friends with 3 good men that know how to get a hold of God and then preach to all of you tonight, and you take it in one ear and out the other and think this is all a joke. This isn't a joke, friend. Hell is a real place. And we need to get burdened for those that are lost and going to this place. Not only did he get his prayer life right, not only did he get his priorities right, but lastly, he's finally got the right picture. You see, we can try to envision what's going to happen. He doesn't have to envision what's going to happen because he's in it. He doesn't have to envision the separation. He doesn't have to envision what it means to be tormented in the lake of fire, friend. He's there right now as we speak, screaming and hollering. He's probably shouting me on tonight. He doesn't have to envision it. He's got the perfect picture.
Amen.
And if he came back, and he was all scarred up, and he looked you in the eyes, what would you do if he said, hey, you better tell somebody. You better tell somebody about Jesus. Hey, you better pray for that person that's lost, and they're going to look like this forever. Hey, I know what it's like to be tormented in that place. Friend, I can't tell you what it's like. But this rich man tells us that he's tormented in this place. Why don't we get the right picture? In Proverbs, the Bible says, where there's no vision, the people perish. You know, I've preached on that scripture, Brother Roger, and I've preached on the vision, and you know, the service has shot through the moon, and we've seen people just absolutely shout. But what about the vision of how real, and what about a vision of the reality of hell? What about the vision of the reality of what it's like to die and go to hell, friends? The Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. Church, we ought to get a vision of everybody dying and going to hell. And get a burden. We ought to get a vision of reality and come to an old-fashioned altar and pray that all these people out in the world get saved by the blood of Jesus. We ought to get a vision of something that's real and not just want to see blessings in our life, but to see people get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Where is your vision? Because before you know it, if you're not careful, those tears in heaven are going to be for your own family. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another day of life, God. Lord, I pray that the people in this building would get a burden for the souls that are lost. God, I pray that these people would pray and give a lifetime to prayer, not just give 5 minutes, but they would get their priorities and their prayer life where it's supposed to be, Lord. Give us the picture that we need to have a burden for those that are lost and dying and going to hell, Lord. Oh God, it's not a joke. Lord, I love you more than anything in this world. Have your way.